Wednesday, August 13th, 2025. This is the InfoWars War Room. The fastest 3 hours on the internet starts now. Really, though, I suppose it's, you, depending on how you look at it, it's going to be the fastest 2 hours on the internet. Maybe the fastest four, if you were tuned into the Alex Jones show earlier that I was hosting. But the Alex Jones-Nick Fuentes debate will be coming up at 5, so we're going to simulcast that here on the War Room, and then that could go pretty long as well. So that's just a quick programming note. Now, as far as the news is concerned, well, you're not going to like a lot of it. I'll tell you that. And I hear a lot, oh, you're too negative and you're anti-Trump and all this stuff. Folks, I'm just calling it as it is, okay? I'm just presenting the truth as I see it, calling balls and strikes, doing political play-by-play. But there are good things happening. Don't get me wrong. There are obviously good things happening. And Trump being in there is better than whatever would have happened with Kamala Harris. Who even knows what kind of clown show would have unfolded with that? But I just don't understand how anybody can see what is going on in D.C. now and feel good about it. And I'm all for cleaning up the streets. This has been a big issue. I've talked about it for a long time, and a part of me applauds the administration for kind of taking the initiative and trying something new. And if you're going to do it, I guess Washington, D.C. is a good place to give it a try. But I'm just not seeing any guardrails. I'm not seeing any guardrails as far as the AI surveillance state. I'm not seeing any guardrails as far as this new police state that we're seeing in D.C. And so I can applaud when you make moves to try to realize a similar vision, cleaning up our streets, but you also have to be weary of tactics that are going to be having negative effects. And there's no doubt with what's going on in D.C. Now, there's a ton of footage of this. I said I'm not going to sit here and play all the footage from D.C., but we'll do commentary of it. I do have one clip, so we'll get to that. And an interesting interview that just concluded with Ana Paulina Luna on the Rogan interview. There's definitely at least one clip from that that I want to play. And then there's some geopolitical developments. It's not good. There's some other stuff coming out of D.C. today. It's not good. And we just went over $37 trillion in debt. And you had last month 71 companies go bankrupt. 71. And what happens in that vacuum in the economy? It gets filled in by the biggest corporations. So power is being centralized. Power is not being returned to we the people, as Trump stated in his inaugural address. It's quite the opposite. I'm sad to report today. Power is being centralized. The economy is being centralized. It's like COVID 2.0. Now, I would like to see the economic recovery. I would like to see Trump's economic visions come to fruition. And I'd say there's definitely still a shot at that. But you keep telling people the economy's good. You know what they're going to do? They're going to vote for Zoran Mamdani. That's what they're going to do.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, If you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at TheAlexShowStore.com.
To the news here, I'll likely open up phone lines pretty quickly because I did 2 hours on the Alex Jones Show already, and I don't want to sit here and cover all of the same stuff. And when you do that, it's kind of like it's like having a starting pitcher pitch eight innings and then asking him to come in for relief. It's kind of like, oh well, that's interesting. So I don't want to sit here and rehash all the stories and all the coverage I did on the Alex Jones Show today. But we do have other videos and other news we're going to get to. But I will start it with this. And I don't even know where it goes from here, because the new establishment right wing is just not interested. They're just not interested. They seem to not even care. Or they're just blind to it. But what's unfortunate, so I guess if there's any purpose to trying to right this ship in this period of time, in this window of time, what's unfortunate is that the youth, whatever they're called now, Gen Z, they are the most right-wing, conservative-leaning generation that we've seen in a long time. Very long time. And not that the left-right paradigm is the be-all, end-all political perspective to look at the situation through, but it's also a very real phenomenon. And you still only have Democrats and Republicans. There's still no other options. That's just a fact. And the Republicans are much better than the Democrats. And you look at the right-wing youth now that is basically getting ignored by the new political right-wing establishment. And there seems to be a generational disconnect. And then they sit here and they look at the results, or what are the predicted results now, of the New York City's mayor race with Mamdani, who is a communist. And they just don't understand it. And it just blows their mind. And they go right back to the same talking points that they've been using for years. And it's like we've gained nothing. We've gained nothing in the last 10 years. We've gained nothing now with President Trump. And it's not even, that's not even wholly accurate, because we have gained a lot. But we're about to lose it all. And if you can't provide the right messaging to reach out to the youth right now, that is just, it's just ripe. It's ripe for conservative politics. It's ripe for right-wing politics. It's ripe for a generational run of right-wing victories politically in America. And I guess if there is an example, and it's just true, if there is something that you can isolate and examine and say, what does this represent? Why is this happening? It is Nick Fuentes' popularity. So you can like him or not, you can't deny that. And so what the right-wing establishment is completely missing is what Nick Fuentes is tapping into. And the two big lies, if this new Republican establishment continue to tell the American youth, they're not going to vote Republican. And it's a shame because you could be making generational runs of Republican victories and demolish the Democrat Party politically. But they can't help themselves. And they keep going back to these same two talking points that turns the youth off. And it's like they're still going to be right. They're still going to be conservatives. They're not going to be Democrats. They're not going to be liberals. But they're not going to show up and vote Republican. And they're going to have a distinct disdain and disgust even for the Republican Party, despite being politically conservative. And the two big lies that the Republican Party continues to tell its younger voters that will destroy the potential here is, one, the economy is doing great. No, it's not. And two, Israel is our greatest ally. If you continue to try to convince right-leaning young conservatives that these two things are true, they will never vote for you. They will look at you as liars, and they will remain politically disenfranchised, and they will continue to seek out voices like a Nick Fuentes. And then anybody that tries to step in his way or destroy his reputation, they will then turn on them like an enemy. All of this is happening in real time. It's all undeniable. And I see people freaking out. They don't know what to do. They don't understand it. And it couldn't be more obvious. It couldn't be more obvious. No matter how you feel about Israel, whether you like Israel, whether you don't like Israel, whether you think they're the greatest ally, the worst ally, it doesn't even matter. The political phenomenons are indifferent to your opinions on the matter. And the political phenomenons are clear and present. The youth has turned on Israel, period. The general America First movement is done with foreign aid. I don't care who it's for. They're done with it. We don't want to hear about foreign countries anymore. And yes, specifically, they don't want to hear about Israel. And they just, the new right-wing establishment, they just can't help themselves. They just can't help themselves. And then they sit here and tell you how great the economy is. We just went into record debt. You've had more big businesses close in a single month since COVID. You got all the different charts and numbers that show how younger Americans are just buried and are decades away from the asset column. Decades. And they look at it like it's an impossible feat to ever own a home. It's an impossible feat to ever own a car. And who's talking to them? They look to the right-wing leadership, and what does it say? The economy's great. They say, really, I can't afford anything. That's interesting. And by the way, Israel's our greatest ally. Really, is that why you keep sending them a bunch of money while I'm here broke? And then the one leading voice that's tapping into that, that's channeling that, that's amplifying that, they attack nonstop. And they make sure that he doesn't get a platform and he doesn't get invited into the right-wing events. And then ultimately what you create, and this is just a natural human phenomenon, it's like the Streisand effect. It's like, the more you start calling people anti-Semites for just having a different geopolitical opinion, the more you keep calling somebody an anti-Semite for not liking our current relationship with Israel, eventually they just say, okay, fine, whatever. I'm an anti-Semite. Don't care anymore. Call me whatever you want. And then you just open up the ground for that as a real issue. So you're going to see Mamdani likely win. And you're going to see people making it this issue like it's a communist thing. Really? You're surprised New York City has a bunch of commies? Really? You're surprised New York City is going to elect a Democrat for mayor? I mean, come on, stop. No. The political referendum is clear. The older generational political runs are over. Trump was the last gasp. It's done. Boomer politics, done. Cold War political foreign policy, done. It's done. It's done. And they're still clinging to it and thinking you can ignore the younger voices, you can discount their opinions, because this is the political world that they're used to, and they just haven't realized it. No, no, you've crossed a threshold now. There's no going back. And the political referendum, whichever party learns this from the Mamdani victory, which I'm predicting, is you can't just tell people the economy is good. You can't just do that when they're suffering and when they're living paycheck to paycheck and they feel hopeless financially. You can't do that. You turn voters off. Now, am I saying you should come out and promise them free stuff? Absolutely not. Am I coming out and supporting communism now? Absolutely not. This is just a political reality. So you can't tell young people that feel financially hopeless that the economy is good. And then, on the geopolitical front, you can't keep telling people Israel's our greatest ally. They want nothing to do with it. They want nothing to do with it. And I'm sitting here and I'm watching the right wing, and they're just totally missing it. They're just completely just swinging a miss, not even close. And you watch, the left will adapt. Yeah, the Democrats right now are kind of hands off with Mamdani. Like, we don't want to go full communist. And, you know, he gets labeled as an anti-Semite. So we're not ready to go there quite yet. And then he'll win. And the Democrats will look at the midterms and they'll say, oh, okay then. And then what are the Republicans going to offer in response? MAGA? That ain't going to work. What are the Republicans going to offer in response? Trump? He's not on the ballot. A police state? A surveillance state? If Trump doesn't get the economy going, they'll have nothing. They'll have nothing because they are ignoring the voices of the youth. They're ignoring the sentiments of the youth, which is now come of age and is a massive voting block. Very anti-establishment, feels the whole system has screwed them, and they're just being discounted and tossed aside. But the Democrats will adapt. They will evolve and adapt. And if they see things that work, they'll go ahead and do it. It's not even about principles for them. I'm not arguing that the Democrats have principles or values. I'm arguing that they'll do whatever it takes to get into power. And can you imagine when this surveillance state is built, when this Skynet that the Trump administration is building is completed? Can you imagine when a Democrat communist gets into the White House and has that power? Is that what you want? And then, God forbid, what happens with horrible leadership? You know, once they build the Golden Dome, they're going to want to use it. And then you can look at any poll. Do you think America's going in the right direction? And you, it'll be hard to find a single poll that says yes. And that's on the left and the right. So that's what I'm saying. This isn't an election cycle. This isn't an election, a stolen election redemption. This isn't Trump and MAGA and getting that last run. That's all behind us now. Trump's in office. He's got a shot. He'll be in charge of his legacy and what happens. But people are missing the bigger picture. And I understand that Trump is like a distraction now. And he really is. When we're having debates about geopolitics or an AI surveillance police state, Trump just becomes a distraction. Because everybody, it's like, everything's about Trump. Everything's Trump this and Trump that. Trump will be gone in 4 years. Trump won't be president. And you're going to have an AI surveillance state. That will stay. Let's talk about that. The young voters in their 20s right now, they're going to be voting in 2028. Trump's not going to be on the ballot. Let's think about that. Let's talk about that. No, instead it's ridicule. It's ridicule if you don't fully support Trump, and if you don't say the economy's great, and if you don't say Israel's our greatest ally. It's ridicule. It's a tax. It's putting you down. And then you just create disenfranchised conservatives, and what happens? Democrats get power again. So for all this talk about how bad the Democrats are, and we can't let Democrats get back in power, and they're communist and everything else, well, you're currently paving the road for them to get right back into power now in less than 2 years in Congress, in the House specifically. And I mean, the only chance you have politically with things that are being done is the reverse gerrymandering that could flip enough Democrat seats to neutralize what would normally flip the House. That's basically the only hope. Unless Trump miraculously gets economic recovery in the next 2 years, which I don't even know anymore what it's, I don't even know what that would look like anymore. It seems that things are not falling into place. Here's an example. Aside from the debt just going over $37 trillion, and by the way, this is why Elon Musk is out, okay? This is why he's out. All the new tech people moved in on this White House, and everybody knew that this is the next big push, is AI, data processing centers, quantum computing, and all the other AI, all the other tech people not named Elon Musk got in there and said, hey, there's a lot of blank checks here. So they don't care. It could be Trump. It could be anybody. It could be Harris. It could be Biden. It could be Obama. They don't care. They see, hey, blank checks are waiting in D.C. Let's move in. Let's get that. While Musk is approaching it saying, hey, we have a bunch of waste, fraud, and abuse. We have a record debt here. Maybe we should address that. Oh, no. D.C. isn't interested in that. All the other tech bros aren't interested in that. All the other AI folks are not interested in that. So, Musk, you're out. We don't want to hear about fiscal responsibility, Elon. We don't want to hear about addressing the debt, Elon. We don't want to hear about waste, fraud, and abuse anymore, Elon. Get out. Get out. We're building the AI surveillance state. There is no budget. Get out. So there he goes. 71 large U.S. companies go bankrupt in July, highest since pandemic. Now, you may recall, and this is now the biggest thing to a police state that we've seen since the pandemic, what's going on in D.C. You may recall the owners of Arizona Iced Tea came out and made a statement saying how, you know what, we've made a bunch of money, so we're going to keep Arizona Iced Tea at 99 cents, and we're just going to leave it there because we've made a ton of money, we're very successful, and right now with the current margins, we can still run at a profit, even though it's smaller, but we can still run at a profit and manage Arizona Iced Tea, so we're not going to raise the prices. Well, now all of a sudden they're saying, actually, because of the aluminum tariffs, we are probably going to have to raise the prices. Can Arizona's 99 cent iced tea survive Trump's tariffs? Now, I'm pro-tariffs, as far as the agenda is concerned. But what Trump was doing, everything had to be done in a very specific linear chronological timeline. And the whole thing is out of whack now. The whole thing is out of whack. So now they're saying, we're not going to show you jobs reports, and there's all this other stuff because it's all out of whack. And he keeps talking about, oh, all these companies making these billion dollars investments, the money from tariffs. Well, nobody's really seeing that yet. Nobody's really seeing this. It's a lot of talk, but nobody's really seeing it. So now you got a problem. You don't have the energy to do this yet, so energy costs aren't going down. You don't have the manufacturing capabilities to do this yet. So, okay, we want to bring manufacturing back, so we're going to tariff aluminum. We're using this as the example with the Arizona tea story. So, yeah, if aluminum in America was being cranked out and they wouldn't have to buy Canadian aluminum anymore, then it wouldn't matter. It's not there yet. You still have a bunch of these regulations. You still have the taxes. You still have what needs to be done to build the manufacturing capabilities and turn them on. So you had to cut taxes, cut regulations, free up energy. And then you can start manufacturing some of these resources that we have to import at a tariff. But now they don't have the aluminum. They don't have the steel. They don't have the aluminum. So they have to pay the tax on the tariffs. And prices aren't coming down. And they just tell you the economy's great. And there's this graph that came out that really doesn't even paint the picture correctly, because it accounts for inflation, but it doesn't count for the discrepancy between the cost of living and the hourly wage. It just corrects the numbers on inflation, not on the other factors here. But it shows the cost comparison between 1950 and 2025. And the only way where you could really compare it is household income has increased 15%, but then everything else is up at least 20% or more. The price of a home up 25%. Cost of college up 20%. Cost of healthcare up 30%. Cost of a mortgage rate up 120%. Average auto loan up 50%. Groceries up 25%. Rent up 28%. Insurance up 40%. So they adjust the numbers for inflation, but you can see that the numbers don't even tell the whole story. The only real lens you can get into the full story would be the household income increase compared to the cost of living increase. But that's one thing. So the household income increase at 15%, that's supposed to supplement the increases all across the board. The household income, you're still paying for your house, your mortgage, your insurance, your car payments, your groceries, your energy bills. So it's not like you're putting all of those into one thing and saying, oh, this increased 15%, this increased 20%. The factor of 15% increase, that's supposed to pay off the 30% increase in everything else. And I'm just sitting here from a raw political perspective, and I'm trying to save the right wing from losing the youth. And that's what's happening. Most kids in their 20s are not in the stock market. In fact, most Americans aren't in the stock market. But they'd like to own a home, but they don't think it's possible. They'd like to own a car, but they don't think it's possible. They work 40, 50 hours a week just to try to keep their head above water. They can't even have a savings account. You make six figures a year in this country. You're living paycheck to paycheck. And then what do they hear? You better support Israel. How do you think that's going to go? How do you think all of that is going to go, folks?
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said sure he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in
because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue. And then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah. I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel it. difference. I use the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but
and you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it. Yeah, I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy. But it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really
It skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible, and they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultramethylene Blue, thealexjonesshow.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it if you're on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShow.com. So,
It's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first and then working out so hard that I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'd be like a restaurant. I'm going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Delving deep into the heart of globalist plans, it's Owen Schroyer.
I never knew that a kid like me could take his mic around the world and flash the big ass thing and rock the masses from Madrid to Calabasas.
All right, I want to take calls on this, and I'm going to hit the news right now while we start aggregating callers. We'll do news, videos, and calls until the Alex Jones-Nick Fuentes debate at 5 o'clock here. We'll put the number up on the screen, 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Some pretty heavy stuff now. All right. Let's do this. Let's look at just, there's dozens, maybe hundreds of these videos. I mean, you know, everybody wanted to record it once D.C. basically turned into a police state overnight. So I just decided to pull one video and just air that instead of just sitting here and showing you video after video. But I think this one kind of gives you the best idea of how it's going down, the force being displayed, but also, you know, how the people are interacting with it and how the feds are handling it. So let's play this, get into that. So this is the feds and the local police patrolling Georgetown, and they have a little conversation with a guy on his front porch, because now everyone's a criminal in D.C. Here it is in clip 7. Oh, you know what? This is just the B-roll, actually. No, that's fine, actually. Keep that on for now. This is just B-roll of it, guys. Thank you. You got the DEA, the FBI, the local police, they're all walking around full, you know, body armor, everything. So you can imagine pretty shocking stuff for people to see if they've never seen it before. But this is now normal. This is going to be D.C. for the next 30 days. But here, actually, is the incident I was talking about with them interacting with the guy on the front porch, clip 14.
How y'all doing today? Y'all staying in that trouble? You got your ID on you, Chip?
Well, no, I live right here.
Okay, cool.
It's a cigarette. Did y'all get a call or something about right here?
No, so we're doing checks, keeping everybody safe down here, right? Have you ever heard of the federal surge that Donald Trump's putting out?
No.
Right. You don't follow like,
no.
Code 3 anything like that that people are putting up?
What's up?
All right, so, yeah, Trump's got all federal agencies kind of coming together 7 days and going out.
I'm familiar with it.
Trying to stop the violent crime, all kind of stuff. So we're out here contacting people, talking to them, right? Quality of life offenses, smoking, drinking in public, right? Can't happen outside, right? Most people know that.
Right? Can't have a beer on my front porch.
Contacting people, trying to advise them of the law so they learn, right? And then if there's other stuff going on where it turns into there's multiple agencies of somebody, there's shooting and things like that. So there's extra hands available, all right? So we're just out here trying to inform people and educate people. It's not like we're trying to just go grab people and ruin someone's life over a joint or something like that,
all right? I only asked because when you walked up at the moment, you walked up, you only had eggs. Me.
Yeah, well, it smelled like the odor of marijuana, burnt marijuana in the air, right? And you're the only guy that had something lit in your hand, and I didn't flash right to you, so I didn't realize it was just a cigarette. So that's on me. I appreciate you understanding and not getting chippy. All right, so just know, right? Learn, teach, tell your boys, like, yo, everybody's out. From FBI to police.
Yo, they go see
you. So, do your thing. Let them know. Don't be smoking outside. Don't be drinking outside. Because Donald Trump's tired of it. People come to visit.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know smoking in public?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the rest of both.
Because you're learning it's recreational use, so I didn't know.
Yeah, so D.C. is recreational use as well, right?
Your house.
You can legally possess up to 2 ounces. Uh-huh. You can gift an ounce to your boy, right? So if you had 2 ounces and he said he needed a zip, you can give him a zip. But you can't smoke outside. You don't.
So, if you're in D.C. or if this comes to a city near you, you're going to need to start getting in the right mindset to deal with this. Now, if we're addressing the violent crime epidemic, and I got a clip from Caroline Leavitt where they're talking about rounding up the homeless as well, which they could maybe communicate it a little better. It kind of sounds bad when they present it the way they have, but no, this has been a longstanding issue. Because it's so bad, the solutions are going to have to be extreme. But it's like, so I look at that and I say, okay, you've got all the feds and the cops coming in. You got the people sitting on their porch. I'd say everybody kind of handled that pretty well. I don't like you're sitting on your porch and now you're getting harassed. I don't like you're sitting on your porch and you're getting asked for an ID. I don't like that. But okay, what could have become a tense moment calms down and he says, all right, you know, here's what's up. Here's the deal. Here's what we need from you. Here's why we're doing this. You know, try to communicate this to everybody that this is what's going on. So, yeah, you've had crime taken over the streets, homelessness, all this stuff. It's going to require an extreme response. So I'm not against the general idea of having an increased presence on the streets to try to stop crime. And I bet you the results will be positive. The crime will drop, guaranteed. And in this time, they start to go put some of the homeless people into whatever facilities they're going to put them into in the meantime before they actually have what will probably be like the new funny farms. That's fine. It's unfortunate that it got this bad, but this is where we're at. So now it becomes very delicate. How do you properly address the issues of the crime and the homelessness and everything else? It's very delicate. It's a very thin line without going over that line, without breaking that glass. Because that was a friendly conversation that could have gone bad. Both parties handled it fair enough. So, okay, went cordial. He said, hey, look, we're not trying to bust you for marijuana, but here's the deal. It's illegal to smoke and drink outside. It's our job to come here and stop you. This is what the president asked of us. So, okay. Now, I will tell you, there were other instances that didn't go so well, ladies and gentlemen. There were other instances that didn't go so well. And I hope that you don't end up with a situation now where you create hostility towards this law enforcement that will result in violence. Because you had a couple of incidents with arrests and with them just walking down the street that are like, okay, now you're, how do you handle that? How do you handle some guy getting in your face? How do you handle some guy screaming at you? How do you handle this? And then how do you handle if it goes wrong once, twice, three times, four times? Now there's a growing resentment there. We've already seen the police demonized. So this is a very delicate situation. The direction is right. The necessity to clean up the cities is real. But now how do you manage without going over that very thin line? And this is going to be tested. This is going to be tested for the next week. And I just see kind of the same thing happening here on the right wing where they just can't help themselves. And a lot of it is just paid propaganda, folks. I mean, let's just call it what it is. A lot of it is paid propaganda to post positive stuff about Trump. But I see the right wing just ready to just, oh, everything's great, just celebrate it, everything. And it's like, hey, okay, hey, we agree about the issues and we want it addressed. And the Trump administration is taking bold action to address that. Okay, all right, admirable. But, hey, let's not push them over the edge. Let's not turn what is a necessity to clean up the streets into a powder keg that could result in something worse happening. And so, it's like Trump just becomes this distraction and we don't look at what's actually happening here. If you saw this stuff during COVID, every single right winger would have been complaining. But now, this is Trump, though. He wants it. Oh, so now it's good. Same thing with the AI surveillance Skynet being built right now. If Biden was doing this, if Harris was doing this, if Obama was doing this, it'd be five alarm fire. I mean, it'd be screaming at the top of the mountains. Worst thing ever. How can we do this? But it's Trump, so it's good. No. We don't play that game here, and I guess it shows that, you know, we really didn't get as far as we thought in the awakening. We really didn't get as far as we thought in the Renaissance. And now Trump legitimately has the reins of this whole thing. And while his approval rating is obviously down and the MAGA base is basically fractured or you could even MAGA's basically dead, that doesn't change the fact that Trump is in control of this. He is in control of this. So I'm just seeing this stuff and I'm hoping for the best, but I don't get caught in the political whirlwinds of the cult of personality of Donald Trump. And I don't get caught in the political left-right paradigm that forces me into not being able to see things neutrally. And yet I see it everywhere. And I'm just like, hey, we all want to have political victories, but what you're doing right now, you're putting the team down big. And you can sit here and put out as much positivity as you want. You can sit here and put out as much pro-Trump propaganda as you want. Not going to change the reality. Not going to change the reality. And we see it all happening right in front of our eyes. So, and then you've got, I don't even know. It's like Pam Bondi goes on Fox Noticias. I won't even play the clip in clip 11. It's like, I can't even, it's... Folks, they're blocking information to give certain people exclusives, okay? I don't want to get too personal with it. I don't want to get too into the weeds with it, but They're literally blocking stories that other people would have to make sure they give it to their friendly media, specifically on Fox News and a couple others. And now they're doing this whole Maduro thing. Look, I'm no fan of Maduro. Not at all. But it's the same issue. Venezuela is not my problem. Okay? It's not my problem. But you have the energy interests of all the oil they have. You have the geopolitical issue of Maduro being against Netanyahu. And so, oh, now Maduro's an issue. Now we got to go after Maduro. And we're going to send Fox News' Noticias that's drowning. They launch a Spanish-speaking channel. Nobody's watching it. So now we're going to drum up a story about Maduro. We're going to send Pam Bondi over there for an exclusive, and we're going to try to give some ratings to Fox News Noticias because they're drowning right now. And then the real investigative journalists that are honing in on some really big stories and are, say, a FOIA request away from connecting the dots, they get blocked. And then they come up the next day and, oh, what do you know? Fox gets the exclusive. Or, oh, what do you know? This other journalist that's friendly with the administration gets the exclusive. It's amazing how that works. So that's where this is at. All right, I'm going to start taking calls on this right now. And then we'll come back and hit some other news and video clips. And then some shocking stuff in the geopolitical news, actually, with a video where Tim Ballard is over there rescuing children in the collapsing Syria. So we got all of that coming up. But let's go to the lines here. Let's start with Bill in Iowa. Bill, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, hello. How's it going today?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Hey, you know, I totally agree with you. You know, I love Trump for what he's doing, but I am not a Trump loyalist. I, you know, stick to the facts. Facts are leading kind of scary here, I tell you. I just don't know. I don't put my trust in one man. I put my trust in God. And, you know, so I agree with you 100% definitely on that. And, oh.
Well, notice here, though, Bill, and I'm not trying to create a riff with you here, but see, what you're saying is even proving my point, where it's like, even you have to introduce what you're saying with something about Trump. So it's like we all fall into this trap. It's the Trump distraction trap. It's the Trump gravity trap, where it's like we can't even isolate a story or a development or anything. It's like everything is in the Trump tunnel. You understand? So it's like, I mean, I don't, Trump loyalist or not, I am a Trump loyalist. In fact, I would argue the loyal thing to do is when you see somebody that you're loyal to doing something you don't like, you push back or you have a conversation. But it's like, that's what I'm saying. We have these things and it's like, oh, I'm not a racist, but, or, you know, I'm not this, but it's like, well, it's like we get trapped into these weird parameters in these political discussions where it's like you have to have this preset, you have to have this prerequisite in order to get people to listen to you. And it's like, that's not a healthy political discourse.
You're absolutely right. I didn't think about it that way. You're absolutely right.
Well, no, I'm not. That's not me. I'm not. That's what I'm saying. I'm not coming after you. I'm saying it's just like, that's the trap that we're in. You understand? So it's like the same thing. You want to comment on some other socialist who's like, well, I'm not racist, but, you know, have you seen crime statistics? It's like, why do I have to provide a prerequisite when I'm just having a political talk?
Right. Hey, one last thing here. You know, if you're driving down the road and you see a sign that says ice ahead and you stop and you pull out, and you hold up a cardboard paper protesting it, you're probably a leftist. That's all I got.
All right. Well, I'd say probably a safe bet. I think, Bill, you're probably right about that. I'm not sure where it comes from, but I can't disagree. Let's go to Joe in the United States. Joe, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Man. So I had a question kind of about Trump. It's not really pertaining to D.C., so I don't know if you're going to tolerate this question anyway. But I was wondering, all this stuff with Trump and Epstein and all that stuff, and then everybody called Biden like this pervert, and he's this and he's that. But yet, and all the connections he had politically, but yet Biden, there's no connection of him to Epstein Island at all. It's pretty much just Clinton and Trump, who seems to have been like really big pals with him. I find it strange how Trump always put him down and said, yeah, it's Sleepy Joe, and he's a pervert, and he's this and that. But yet Trump is the one who's most closely associated to Epstein.
Well, I don't know how anybody could disagree with that. But in fairness, I mean, Biden is literally on video groping and sniffing children. I mean, so there's really no comparison there.
Right. Well, I mean, still, though, it's kind of odd, like with all the connections and all the political clout and
well, I would say this. I would say this. Clinton was obviously into whatever Epstein was doing. That was a personal thing for Bill Clinton, wanting to be on the jet and the island. I think Trump's association with Epstein is more just the New York Billionaires Club, and either organically hot women around Epstein, or that was Epstein bringing them to the parties. I'd say, you know, Trump's associations with Epstein are way more innocent than, say, Bill Clinton or Bill Gates.
All right. Yeah, I was just wondering. I mean, it's kind of obvious, though, that the Bidens aren't connected with Epstein, not even one breath of a word anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, you got Hunter Biden going around doing media tours saying, release the files.
Really?
I mean, this is the guy who's got plenty of skeletons in his closet.
I didn't know that. That kind of made me laugh there for a second. That's pretty funny. But but no, not one breath, not one connection, nothing.
Yeah. Well, all of these things, for whatever reason, it's the nature of media or politics. All these things somehow end up in this vacuum. And it's like, oh, if it's like everything is about Epstein or everything is about Trump. And it's like, no, there's a lot of separate things going on. So, yeah, I can sit here and be like, here's Joe Biden, maybe an interesting situation with his wife. And then he gets married to Jill. But here's Joe Biden dozens of times. Young kids come to the White House or come to Congress, and there goes Joe's hands. You know, there goes Joe's mouth. So there's really nothing that compares to Joe as far as the public incidents, let's say, with the child groping. You don't have anything like that with Trump. Trump liked beautiful women. There's no secret there. And obviously his association with Epstein probably mostly centered around that, but there's nothing there, and this does provide Trump plausible deniability. There's nothing there after Epstein's pedophile conviction, unlike with others like Bill Gates and Ehud Barak and a lot of others. So there are separation lines here. But at the end of the day, who was president? Who was president when Epstein killed himself? Who was president when we were supposed to get the files and we didn't? So That's a Trump legacy thing. There's no denying that. Let's go to Peter in Florida. Peter, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen. I completely agree that there's a lot of issues that are ripe for the picking for the Republicans, and they just keep not acknowledging them. One is definitely just cost of living. I'm about to be 30. Some of my friends and or myself, you know, make upper, you know, 150, 200 grand. And the fact of the matter is that the government takes half in tax, and then rent in New York City, Miami, Austin, whatever, is half of the remaining half. And then so you can't actually save long term to actually have financial freedom, acquire assets like a house. You're just a few missed paychecks away from, you know, being broke. And another thing is the cost of health care. Like, I'm no Luigi fan, obviously, but I have a shoulder injury. And, you know, I pay $1,000 a month in health insurance. I want to get an MRI, and Aetna automatically denies it. So, you know, there's this feeling, whether it's cost of living, health care, housing, you know, that young people are suffering financially, and the Republicans just piss on your back and tell you it's raining.
Yeah. And that's why when I saw them attacking, go figure. I saw them attacking Mom Donnie on the $2,300 a month apartment, and I said, this is going to have the exact opposite effect. This is not the victory you think it is. And then what happened? Mom Donnie popped in the polls. And he's at his biggest lead in the polls ever. They're just totally missing it. And that's what I'm saying. And I do think it's mostly a generational thing, because I can relate to what you're saying, because we're probably somewhere around the same age. But it's like I can relate to what younger people are going through or have gone through, because I've done it myself. And it's like the older generations, it's like they don't care or they don't get it. I don't know. And by the way, it's not like the older generations haven't seen their share of economic hardship. I'm not discounting that. They've gone through economic hardship. They've gone through collapsed economies. It's not like they're above all of this. But then politically, it's like they refuse to address it, and they look at it as a left-wing thing and a communist thing. And by the way, I know people. I actually know multiple people. I've got a story here in my stack. In fact, I'll play it coming back from the break, Peter, since you brought this up. I know people who have been destroyed by medical bills. Destroyed. Just financially crushed out of nowhere. And it's like you don't even think it could be so bad. And, you know, you're in a situation where, okay, you need a surgery or your kid or whatever, and you're just like, don't talk to me about a payment. I'm insured, whatever. Like, yeah, get my kid to a hospital, whatever it is. Get me to a hospital. And they always, and they're trained, like, don't bring up the real cost or the real money, because then it can create a chaotic situation when you're trying to, you know, help somebody that's in need. And then a week or two later, they see the bill and they're like, what the hell? I've never made this amount of money in my entire life. And then they go bankrupt, crashes their credit, can't buy a house. I mean, can't even do anything. And it's just like, these are very real issues. These are very real issues. And you can sit here and talk about, oh, the economy's great and we got all these investments and that's fine. But it's not changing the fact that these issues aren't going anywhere. And you could sit here and say, well, it was Obamacare. Well, that was a big one. But it's also big pharma. It's also the insurance companies. I mean, the whole thing is a scam. The whole thing has been a scam. And that's what I'm saying. This is the mindset of the youth. And you can disagree with it all you want. You're not changing their minds. And the mindset of the youth is the system has been rigged against us. The system has been rigged for years, but it exponentially gets worse and worse and worse because nobody addresses it. And so now they're in the worst situation.
We need funds. We're fighting the globalists at Point Blank Range. And they got a receivership hearing with Judge Gloria Gamble that ran the Texas show trial next week to send the sheriffs here. It could be within days next Wednesday to shut us down. And I'm sure we'll get lots of funds then once we're shut down. Be like, oh, God, he really did need help. Oh, yeah. We have been battling and barely surviving. They turned the internet off here before. They had a fake sale to Bloomberg's front group. Remember all that? And it was because we didn't give up and the crew didn't give up. When I told the crew, no, we're going to beat this, don't go. And I stayed here and slept here a couple times. That we're still here. And because you bought the products, we had enough money for lawyers to go battle it and beat it. Everybody listening needs to get off the fence, get off the bench, get up at the plate, and needs to go become a VIP. $30 a month, see it as a donation. You get $40 each month to spend in the store, sales on top of everything, special deals, special offers just to you. It's insane. And then if you really just want to support and you don't want methylene blue or turmeric, you're crazy if you don't, or Ultimate Life Force, the best cardiovascular spike protein detox, everybody should be taking it. I mean, it's the best. Ultimate Life Force is the best cardiovascular, heart health, spike protein detoxer. Every man, woman, and child should take at least one regimen of it, see how you feel. It does dramatic things. We have the strongest turmeric. You should get it. And I got a lot of news to cover. I don't sit here and beat a dead horse, but the news we get out is so powerful, and it's that less than 1% of people that buy stuff at theauctionstore.com that make all this possible. And this fight is your fight. They want us off the air because they want to shut down focal points of organizations that hold the Trump administration's feet to the fire and warn Trump and warn his advisors and have a big effect and big pull, as the administrations have said and as the Democrats have said. They've come after Trump. They've sued Trump. They've had their operatives in there, and they see our stuff everywhere. Step into the zone of history and understand that you are the key. You are the variable. You are the Paul Revere's. You are the resistance. And this dog don't hunt without you.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.